anything that Marty Father just thank you for all the many blessings that we've been today. Thank you, Father, for all those that gathered here this morning, Father, to worship you. Father, I just pray, Father, that there's one here this morning that don't know you, today will be the day that they need. I pray, Father, that you be with Christians who bring the message to us this morning, Father. I pray that we would open our hearts up and we may receive it. Pray, Father, that you be with Sunday school as we go down. And Father, just be with these things that you've done and said here. Father, I pray that you would be with this church as we go forward. That, Father, that we would follow what you would have us to do. Pray, Father, that you be with all these young people in here this morning, Father. As I know they have a difficult road ahead of them, Father. All the things in life that may take part in their life. And I just pray, Father, that you be with each one as they go forward. Father, I pray that you forgive us where we be. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house?
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. When I called on Tim to pray, Tim looked at me, and I forget we've got two Tims. And I forget that we've got several Billies, and I forget we've got several Joes, and we've got several that are got different names here. And I forget that sometimes. And as people, sometimes we forget things too. We forget what Easter is really about. Easter is about the resurrection. That's what it is. And we talk a lot about Jesus dying on the cross, and I am so glad my Jesus died for me. But I am so utterly grateful that my Jesus rose from the grave for me. If he had died and never come back, if they had found his bones, and I find it interesting, every few years, some liberal archaeologist will find the bones of Jesus. And then they'll start talking about how Christianity is, they got all confused. And then after a while, they'll test the bones and they'll say, well, no, they were monkey bones or they were something else. But they've never found the bones of Jesus and never will. Because Jesus walked out of that grave. And if you don't believe that, then you cannot be saved. Salvation is based on the fact that he died for you, but his resurrection proves that God accepted what he did for you. Jesus said, 3 days I'll lay in that grave. And then he said, on the third day, I will rise again. And that's the proof of our salvation. And also the blessed hope. Because we who believe in him have been promised that as he lives, so we shall live.
Amen.
And I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, the more I feel my age. Do y'all feel that? These young people don't know what's coming. But sooner or later, all that handsome and beauty will fall off. Amen. And there's going to come a time where you're going to be like me, making sounds every time you stand up. But I'm looking forward to the day when I'm given that glorified body. As he is, so I shall be. Today we're in Matthew 28. We're going to read responsibly from verses 1 through 8. We have the Lord's table today. We're going to have a wonderful day. I didn't forget the children's sermon, but I think sometimes the children just need to listen to a sermon.
So. Amen.
So Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8, we'll read responsibly. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it.
His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men.
And the angel answered and said unto the women,
Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you.
And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word.
I'm going to ask my brother Tim Smith if he'll bless the message, please.
Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. And what a special day it is to celebrate this. We know he has risen. For that, Jesus, we've got eternal life in heaven someday. For God has created a kingdom for us, a special place. Father, if you would, be with Brother David as he brings a message this morning. Help him to get across to someone here that might hear Jesus in their heart. May that happen. May they have life. So ever full. Father, forgive me for my sins this morning. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Jesus died just before this resurrection morning. He had laid in the grave for 3 days. The day that he died on that cross of Calvary, the Pharisees and the priests went to Pilate. And they told Pilate, they said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, when he was still alive, after 3 days, I'll rise." And they said, "You need to go and make that tomb secure." They said, "Lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people that he rose when he really didn't." And then Pilate told them, he said, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can." So they went, they made the tomb secure. They rolled a great stone against it. They placed a seal on that stone and set a guard around that tomb. There was no way Jesus was going to rise from that grave. 3 days later, the ladies who had hurriedly prepared Jesus for burial, they laid Jesus in that borrowed tomb. And they were headed back to finish the preparations. The Bible says they prepared his body hurriedly, but as they went to see the body of Jesus, they had some problems. The problem was there was a stone that was in front of that tomb. And that stone was very heavy. How are these ladies going to move this stone? Second, that stone was sealed by the mark of the law. Nobody could break that seal. If you were to break it, you were to incur the wrath of the emperor. You could not move that stone. And third, that terrible stone kept them from getting to the body of Christ. It stood as a doorway between life and death. So as they headed toward that tomb, they wondered who would roll away the stone from the mouth of the tomb because it's very heavy. But when they got there, they found that that stone had already been moved. Oh, praise God that the stone had been moved. I want to talk about that stone today first, what that stone represented. That stone in front of the mouth of the tomb was there because Jesus died a death that he did not deserve. Pilate examined Jesus. Before Pilate ever examined Jesus, he sent Jesus to Herod. Now, if you know the Bible, Herod was a crooked man. He was an evil man. He was a monstrous man. But Herod examined Jesus, and he found no fault in Jesus. He sent Jesus back to Pilate, and he told Pilate, he said, "I find no reason to kill this man." Pilate beat the man. He beat Jesus. And he brought him before the people and he said, "I see no fault in this man." 3 times Pilate brought Jesus before the people. He said, and Pilate did everything he could to get out of crucifying Jesus. Over and over again he said, "This Jesus is an innocent man." And yet in the end, Jesus still died. And the reason Jesus died is because the people cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus did not die because he was a criminal. He died between two criminals because we are all sinners.
Amen.
We are all sinners. You know, today sin in America is just a trifle. We think nothing of sin. We're always redefining sin. We say, "Oh, that's the way they were born. That's just the way it is. It's all right to be that way. Everybody's that way anyway." But God is a holy and a just God.
Amen.
God is righteous. He is pure. He is holy. There is no sin whatsoever in God. And when God told Adam, he said, "The day that you eat of that which is forbidden, that day you shall die," God fulfilled his word. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. It's death. God does not wink at sin. And He never has. That stone that was in front of that tomb that day, it marked a separation between life and death. And that stone symbolizes the stone of sin that stands between us and God. Who shall roll that stone away? I can't roll the stone of sin away. I can't do anything to make myself right in the eyes of God. I'm a sinner. Amen. I'm a fallen creature. And you are too.
Amen.
There are none righteous according to the Bible. No, not one. So as we look at that tomb today, we say, who shall roll that stone away? Oh, praise God. My Bible tells me this. In 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for sins, not for His sins, but it says the righteous suffered for the unrighteous that He might bring us to God. That stone is rolled away today because Jesus paid the penalty for sin. God saw what Jesus did and He said, I am satisfied in what my Son did. And when you receive Jesus, God looks at you and He says, I am satisfied in what my Son did for you. Isn't that good? Oh my goodness. Y'all look so serious today. That's all right. You can be serious. I'm going to be me.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Amen.
Somebody told me a long time ago, they said, be you because there's only one you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be me. The stone is rolled away, not because of what I did. I was as weak as those women. There's no way we could have rolled it away. There are guards set on that stone. And not only that, there is a mark of the law on the stone. To break that mark is to incur the wrath of the king. We cannot roll the stone away, but God can, and God did in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus suffered for us. We read in Matthew 28:2, there was a great earthquake, and I got to tell you this, the day that Jesus rose, it shook the earth, and it changed things. The Sabbath used to be on the seventh day. Now we worship on the first day in recognition that He rose from the grave. Everything changed. The earth moved. The angel of the Lord descended. The stone was rolled away. And because it was rolled away, it shows that our sins were paid for. Hebrews 10 tells us this. When Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. And by a single offering, He perfected for all time those who are being saved. Where forgiveness of sin is, there is no more payment for sin. And Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
That is a wonderful message for today. The stone moved because the law was satisfied. Jesus said, when He came, He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've come not to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall pass from God's law. And if you're under Christ, then He has fulfilled the law, and He has paid the law in full. But if you're not under Christ, then you still stand under the judgment of that law. Our God is holy.
Amen.
And you will never stand in front of that holy God without Christ the sacrifice, the Passover lamb given for you. John 3 tells us this, and these are the words of Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, I must be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have a promise of life through Christ. No one else can promise you that. I used to watch these televangelists on TV. They'd tell you, they'd say, if you'll send me some money, I'll send you a handkerchief that'll, you can shake it over things and it'll make things better. Did y'all ever see that?
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, I'd rather buy snake oil from a snake oil salesman. Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus walked out of that tomb. He promised eternal life, and Jesus was seen of many. He still lives today, and praise God for that.
Amen.
Matthew 28 verses 2 through 4, it says, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And I want you to notice that an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone from the door. And he did this because God said, I'm satisfied in Christ. But look what he says next. The angel of the Lord rolled the stone back from the door, and he sat upon it. I love that imagery there, don't you? There was nothing that an angel could do. He rolled that stone away because Jesus paid the penalty. But he sat down on that stone to show that the work was finished. There is not one thing to be added to it. When Jesus died on that cross, one of the last words he said was a Greek word, tetelestai. And that word means, it is finished. There is nothing left to pay. As that angel sat on that stone, and we read in Matthew 28:3-4, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And I can only imagine how that was as they looked at this angel. But I want you to notice what we see in verse 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You know, this is not God himself. This is the angel of the Lord sitting before these guards. But they're falling down and they're shaking. They're fearful. They're in agony because they're without Christ. They have no hope. You know, those who are without Christ will one day stand in front of a great white throne.
Amen.
And when they stand in front of that throne, the Bible tells us in Revelation that they will not want to be there. That they will want to run from that throne. They crawl out to the mountains and say, hide us from the judgment that has come. This is an angel that has come from God. And for this, it causes these people to fall down in fear and in agony. Can you imagine how it would be on that great white throne day? Oh, I praise God I'll never have to see that.
Amen.
I praise God that Jesus paid my price. Amen. I praise God that the judgment that I'll stand before is a judgment seat of Christ, not a great white throne.
Amen.
And my judge will be my Father and not some unknown judge that I know little about. Oh, my goodness. That day I see my Lord, and that day you see your Lord will be a great day. It'll not be a day of fear. I want you to notice that this angel, he ignores these men who are shaking on the ground. But he looks at the ladies who came. And in verse number 5, the angel says to those women, fear ye not. Oh, I love those words, don't you?
Amen.
Fear ye not. This is what God tells us in the empty tomb. Fear ye not. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of life. Jesus has given us life through his death and his resurrection. And you don't have to worry about that. God is in control, and God has you in the palm of his hands, little Christian.
Amen.
What a blessing that is to know what a Savior we have. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, fear ye not. That's what the angel told him. He said, fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus. If you seek Jesus, you don't have to fear. But if you're seeking happiness through the wrong thing, you should fear. You should fear. Because there is no peace outside of Christ. But once you give your life to Jesus and trust him as Lord and Savior, then you become attached to his resurrection and to his life. And where my master is, someday I will be.
Amen.
What a joy that is. The angel said this, fear ye not. I know that you seek Jesus. And look what he says, which was crucified. That's past tense. He says he was crucified. That was the other day. But he's not crucified anymore. And he says in verse number 7, he is not here, but he is risen just as he said. Jesus keeps his promises always. Jesus knew he had to die on that cross. But he's not there anymore. It's an empty tomb. You know, they tell me, I've never been to the Holy Land. I'd like to go. But they tell me they can still go to that tomb today where Jesus lay. They can still see that shelf where Jesus lay. They can't see the bedclothes. They're gone. But they can see the place where he lay in that borrowed tomb. But it's empty even today because our Lord is risen. The angel told them this. He said in verse number 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Go quickly and tell others. Today is a day where we worship Jesus and thank Jesus for what he's done. You know, I've known people that said that they're Christians, but they've never told anybody about their faith. Now, I want you to notice, as soon as the angel told them, go and tell others that Jesus is risen, In verse 9 it says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said those three words that the angel said, be not afraid. Y'all say that with me. Be not afraid. Let's say that louder. Be not afraid. Isn't that a wonderful message? The angel said, be not afraid. His first words, the first resurrected words of Jesus, be not afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. He said, if you trust me, I will be with you.
Amen.
He said, go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Do you know Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? You never will until you do what Jesus tells you to do.
Amen.
Oh, you'll never see Jesus until you bow your knees and you raise your eyes to heaven and you say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. You'll never see Jesus in your life until you do the things that Jesus tells you to do. The angel sat down, but the disciples were to go. They were to go and to tell others. And if you'll go and you'll tell others about Jesus, they'll see Jesus too. What an awesome Savior we serve. Amen. Oh, what an awesome Savior we serve. As we prepare to go to the Lord's table now to commemorate what Jesus did before that empty tomb, I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward as I speak, as we close. Brother, come up here and lead us in one final hymn of invitation.
Go with me to number 519. 519.
The Lord's table on Easter is a particularly special time. The Lord's table is a time when we share what Jesus did for us. The Bible tells us that on the night of the Passover, at the end of that Passover meal, our Lord Jesus took bread from that table. It was unleavened bread. And he told his disciples, he said, he took it, he broke it, he blessed it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The bread symbolizes that Jesus was broken for you on that cross, that he died for you. We encourage everyone to take the Lord's table, regardless as to where your church membership is. But we do ask that you remember that this table is for those who have received him as Lord and Savior, who believe that he was broken for us. To partake of this table unworthily is to bring a curse upon yourself, according to the Scripture. So ensure that you know you belong to Jesus as you take this. I'm going to ask Brother Terry, would you bless the bread?
Father, we thank you for the day to give us to come in your house to hear your word. And I ask you to forgive me my sins. Bless the Sunday school teachers to teach your lessons. And we ask you to bless the dinner that we try to receive in remembrance of you. Lord, we ask. It is amen.
Amen. Receiving him shall live forever. Together, family. The Bible tells us that on that same night, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup symbolizes the blood of the New Testament. My blood which you shed. He blessed it, and then he told them, drink ye all of it. It is his blood that gave us salvation. Brother Billy, would you bless the cup?
Father, we come to you today. We can hear what you did on the cross. Father, will you say, in here today. If we could take a bit, we just want to thank you again for the many blessings you give us. Amen.
Amen. Shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Together, family. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of what Christ has done for you. That brings rejoicing to our hearts. What an awesome Savior. The Bible tells us that that first Lord's table, the disciples went out into the night. You will be going out into the night. America has become very dark.
Amen.
It's a darkened place. It has gotten far away from God. You are God's light, though. And as you go out into the light, remember that you have Jesus in you. And greater is he that's in you than he is in the world.
Amen.
Shine for Jesus. The Bible tells us that they sang a song before they departed. It was a celebration. What are we going to sing as a final song, brother?
We're going back to the prelude. You're just going to do the chorus.